Have your Bibles this morning. Psalm 46, verse 1. A refuge. The Lord is our refuge. You'll notice in verse 1 it says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help. Most people do not sense the present help of the Lord. They're distanced from him. Notice what he says in verse number 7. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. A refuge is a place where when a storm comes up, I want to speak to you about the storms of life this morning and what you can do about them to stay safe. 56 years ago, I'd go visit my grandparents and they had 120 acres and I'd fish and ride horses and just have a great time, very pleasant memories in my mind. But I remember in Oklahoma, where my grandparents were, was in Tornado Alley. Now, if you know anything about Tornado Alley, those storms come up and you see those twisters around. And every time there would be a storm, a black storm, 56 years ago, they didn't have radar. Didn't have cell phones. I know a lot of you young people cannot even imagine that. I see some of them kind of snickering like, we used to have a party line. How many of you know what that is? Wow, a lot of people know what party lines are. Well, I always got in trouble with the party line. That's not fair to laugh at people. I saw that. Here I am. Why'd I get in trouble with the party line? Ah, that's right. You did too. That's why you know. All right, I'd sneak over there and I'd hear the phone ring, and you know you had different rings, you know, two rings, three rings, four rings. So I would hear the phone ring and I'd go over there and I'd kind of look at that phone, kind of lustily, like, I wonder that's Mrs. So and So down the street. I wonder what she's talking about. And you know, most of the times I obeyed my grandparents. I really tried that, but every once in a while, curiosity. Well, let me back up. Sin just got a hold of me, okay? So I went over there and grabbed that phone. I kind of listened very carefully. And you know, my grandmother say, grandson. Well, I know you guys have never seen a party line. But how would you like it if your mom could hear your cell phone? I saw some eyes go like that. Yeah, you get on your cell phone and your phone rings and it goes to your mom's phone. And she can hear it, your dad's. All of a sudden, you're talking to somebody, and she can hear every word of it. Wow, that'll change the way you talk. And so I'd enjoy all the different things of my grandparents. But one thing, when a storm would come up, my grandparents had a cellar. Now, Janet and I just went there a year or two ago, and almost nothing's left on the property because it's everybody's gone. It's still the 120 acres there. But the old barn is down. It's been carried away. The old house is gone. But there's one thing still there, and it's that cellar. And as I look at that cellar, it didn't seem as big this time, but it had the old round part on it. You could see the door. You could open up. You go down to the cellar. It's where my grandmother kept all of her canned goods, and she would can everything that you could imagine. And so when a storm would come up, I'd be listening very carefully because I love going to the cellar. It was like, cool, you hear the wind. I mean, it's blowing all over the place. You get in the cellar and close that thing up. It's like everything stopped. And we'd have it by candlelight. There was no power there. We'd sit down in there and I'd see all the foodstuffs in the whole world in there. I'd see peaches and apricots and apples and I didn't see the green beans. I just ignored those. And so I'd see all the other things, corn. I mean, it was great. And the storm would come, and then it would pass over. And my grandfather said, grandson, I remember seeing that tree right there. I went over and looked at the tree. He said, I saw a broom straw all the way through the tree, front to back. I said, how'd that happen? He says, the Lord can do anything. I said, wow. But that cellar represented a refuge. Everything was okay if we could just get to the cellar. So when the storm would come up and the wind started raging, we couldn't see radar. We couldn't tell if it was coming. You'd hear, you'd listen for the sort of like a train coming, and you would try to hear if that sound and get in the cellar. We'd all run and jump in the cellar and close the door. I remember that. And yet today, I want you to understand there's all kinds of storms come up in life. There's financial storms. There's health storms. There's emotional storms. There's a storm called sin, and everybody's in the midst of it. And you need a refuge from sin, your sin. You need a refuge to be able to get away from the penalty of your sin. Do you understand that the penalty of sin for all of us is death and hell? Do you understand that today? The Bible is very clear in Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 3, 23, Romans 6, 23, and Romans 3, 10, and all these passages say we're in trouble because of our sin. And somebody's got to pay. And there's no place you can go to get away from your sin except the refuge of Jesus Christ. That's it. And so everybody here, you've got this sin debt got to be paid. And you might say, well, Pastor, I've got a nice tie and coat on. I've got a beautiful dress on. None of that matters. Well, but Pastor, I've been a member of this church for a lot of years. I'm really grateful for that. But the Lord's not going to look to see where you're a member of when you step foot in the judgment seat. The Lord is looking, do you have a refuge? There's only one. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, John 14, 6. So he's looking for you to come to him. And you know one thing about that refuge, that cellar, when my grandmother would say, it's coming, everybody get to the cellar. If I'd said, you know, I don't think I want to get in today. I was on my own. And there are so many millions of people say, I don't think I want to get in the refuge today. I don't want to trust the Lord with my sin. I'll take care of it myself. I've had people actually tell me, I don't want anybody to help me. I'll take care of it myself. Oh, wait a minute. You don't have what it takes to pay for your sin. And the Bible says in death and hell, whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. I don't want that for anybody in this room. That's the reason I became a pastor. When the Lord called and touched my heart, I wanted to do something that was lasting longer than this life. I wanted to do something last longer than a church building or a house or something, a car that somebody built or putting a spaceship on the moon. I wanted to do something that was greater than that. I wanted to make sure people could know there was a refuge from all the sin that you and I have committed. It could be wiped away. But you've got to get to the refuge first. You've got to come to Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to notice there's sin causes a lot of pain, and you can have a refuge from that in the Lord Jesus. Sin has a lot of power. It can overwhelm us. It does many people. There are many people that can't control their temper. They can't control their bitterness. They can't control their thoughts. They can't control their jealousy. And so you need a refuge. You need someone that can help. And the only way you can have any help at all is if you come to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only chance there is. But I want you to notice not just refuge from sin, and that's in Jesus Christ. You need refuge from Satan. Did you know the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 5, he's as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. The old devil lives to destroy people. That's the only reason he lives. You see, God kicked him out of heaven and he's been bitter ever since. And he goes through and to and fro through all the earth looking for people that don't trust Jesus to be their refuge and says, I'll hunt them. I'll track them. And he's like a lion. He's subtle. He's quiet. And he jumps on us. And when he does, we don't have any help. You can't fight a lion by yourself. David did, but in the power of the Lord. That's the refuge that the Lord is. Satan is powerful. He's able to see you sitting here today. He's able to get a hold of your thoughts. Do you remember that Judas was there and he's sitting down and eating at the table with Jesus Christ, and Satan entered into Judas. Does anybody know what he did after that? He went out and hanged himself. There's a lot of people committing suicide today, young people and everybody else. Why? Because their sin is too great for them to handle, and Satan leads them right to suicide as a way out. It's not. And then there's people that, you know, they suffer from all kinds of things that the old devil puts in our way. And he's trying to destroy you. He's trying to destroy your marriage. He's trying to destroy your relationship with your parents. He's trying to destroy you in this room. He's trying to destroy your job. He's trying to make it where you're bitter at somebody at work, or you don't want to do a good job because you want to show them. The old devil's behind all of that. All of those things are his ideas. But you and I have to say no, but you can't by yourself. You know, I went on a safari and one of the guides from 5 years ago was taking somebody on a safari and didn't realize it, but walked around a corner and a Cape buffalo was right there and killed him. And he had a rifle and everything, but you know what? He didn't have time to get the rifle up and shoot enough times to kill it. Does anybody know what the average distance of a grizzly bear in Alaska is shot at? The average distance. You know what it is? Now, I don't know this by experience. I'm just telling you, okay? But I do know this is the average different distance. It's 15 feet. No grizzly bear would ever kill me because I would have died before he got there if I saw him from 15 feet. But can you imagine 9 foot, 1,200-pound bear coming at you from 15 feet, you got one shot. The old devil is much better than that. He sneaks up on you from behind. And all of a sudden, you don't realize it, and you're bitter. He's got you. All of a sudden, somebody does something to you, and you've gotten bitter about it, or something happens, and your brother or sister does something, and you get mad, and you lose your temper. He's got you. Or maybe you're like Peter. I want you to listen to this. Peter walked with Jesus Christ for 3 years. I want you to listen to this. He walked with him physically, but not with his heart. He walked with him with his head. And the reason we know that is because there were times he would walk through and he and his buddies would, we looked at it this morning in Sunday school, he and his buddies would say, as they went into a village in Samaria and they didn't accept Jesus Christ, you want to bring down fire from heaven and destroy these people? Jesus said, no, I didn't come to destroy, I came to save. Satan came to destroy. So Satan got in John and James' heart and said, let's destroy these people. You and I have to be careful because you're going to look at somebody else and say, I can't believe my husband did that. I wish he had just died. I wish, anybody ever thought something about somebody at school and said, I wish they weren't around? Anybody? Don't raise your hand. I wish they'd go to another school. I just wished, you know what? We have to be so careful. The old devil slips right up here, gets right up here and says, hey, begins to talk to us. Your parents are crazy. I can't believe God put you in this family. Can you believe the Lord's been so mean to you? Who says that? The old devil does. And all of you in this room have got to realize that Satan is after you. He's after everybody in this room to give you an excuse not to come to church, not to read your Bible. If you know Christ as Savior, he's coming after you just like he did Peter. Do you remember whenever Jesus said, okay, guys, I want to tell you a story. I'm going to have to die and I'm going to be raised again from the dead. And Peter speaks up and says, oh, no, Lord, we're not going to let that happen. I'm not going to let that happen. And the Lord Jesus looked at him and said, get thee behind me, Satan. He's acting like the old devil. And then, does anybody remember what happened after that? All of a sudden, Jesus is taken. He's standing before Caiaphas. They're about ready to condemn him to death on the cross. And Peter's standing there warming his hands with the fire. And somebody, a little girl, looks up to him and says, hey, I know you. You were Jesus. He said, no, blankety blank, I wasn't. He reverted back to the old fisherman words and ways. Is that you? When you get angry, you revert back to the old ways. The old devil puts it in your mind. You say, I'll show them. I'm not going to take that. The old devil's in your ear. Satan is after you. Oh, you know what? You don't come out after Satan's gotten a hold of you and have scars on your arms. I mean, you don't have blood dripping off and your coat all sheared up. You don't listen a lot like that. People can't see that. But your attitude is wicked. Your spirit is all wrong. You're difficult to live with. You know what's happened? You let Satan get a hold of your heart. He's after all of us. How many ever heard of a preacher taking money from a church? Raise your hand. Okay. Satan got him. Ever heard of a husband or wife, you know, running around on their mate? Satan got him. He's after you. It can happen to Christians. Satan's coming after you. He would delight in destroying your life because then you can't do anything else for Jesus Christ that lasts forever. And the Lord Jesus saved you to serve. And if the old devil can keep you from getting saved, oh, he's won the greatest victory of all. But if once you've gotten saved, he can't get you back, but he can destroy your testimony, get you to have an attitude, act like the devil. How many ever heard somebody say, that boy's acting like the devil? Anybody heard somebody? He's acting like the devil. Well, you know, boy, I never wanted to hear that because that meant I was in deeper trouble with my mom than the old devil could ever do to me, you know? I just wanted to do what was right so mom would be proud of me and dad would be proud of me. And so I remember, you know, looking at things and saying, Lord, how many ever heard the saying, the devil made me do it? How many ever heard that story? The devil made me do it. He didn't. He just caused you to want to do it. And you said, okay. Did Satan go to Eve and say, Eve, come here, come here. Pull her over there. Take the fig off the tree. Oh, what kind of tree was it? No, we don't know. I don't want you to mess up. Okay, take the apple, the fig, or the peach, or the apricot, maybe even a watermelon. I don't know. But take it off the tree and put it in her hand and say, come here. Ah, she's fighting him off. It wasn't like that. He just said right here and said, boy, doesn't that fruit look good? It sure does. No, 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 no. The Lord's saying, no, 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 no. The old devil's saying, oh, it looks good. And she reaches up and says, I'm not going to get it, eat it. I'm just going to touch it. Oh, it's got a different touch. Pull off the tree. Wow, it looks so good. Eat it. Take a bite. You'll be smart as God. Come on, take a bite. Ah, the devil's after everybody in this room. To think lustful thoughts. To think pornographic thoughts. To think selfish thoughts. He's after every one of you. You cannot escape except to one person. And Jesus says, I am your refuge. You have to learn to run to him. There was no place in that Oklahoma 120 acres safe except that cellar. You had to get there. Notice, there's no, we need a refuge from the sorrows of life. Sometimes when you lose someone in death, it's almost overwhelming. You need a refuge. When you end up having a failure of some kind. Moral failure. Financial failure. You know, many times when the stock market is right now, it's going down because the interest rate's going up. And when the interest rate levels out, starts down a little bit, the stock market will start back up. It's just cyclical like that. But you know what happens when you've got all of your dreams are in that account. And all of a sudden you start seeing it go down. Did you know there are people that have committed suicide because they just couldn't take it? I remember 1988. How many remember what happened in 1988? I remember that? It was a financial meltdown like I'd never seen. I was young then and had some money in the market. And I looked at my money on that morning And then I looked at it. I got home from work. I said, I got to see what's happening. The stock market was crashing, it sounded like. And I lost $5,000 in one day. I said, oh, my goodness. And I panicked and took it out. Dumbest financial move I've ever made. The next day, it went back up $5,500. And I'm sitting here holding the bag. Why did I do that? The old devil wants you to think, you're really dumb, Pittman. You just blew a lot of your money. I remember going around the house, I was just sick. $5,000 was a lot of money in 88. And I said, oh, Lord, why did I do that? Lord, you know, how am I going to tell Susan? And how am I, oh, Lord, it was devastating. And I could just sense the Lord's hand when I finally got to my knees and said, Lord, I'm sorry. I need your guidance more. I need to yield to you more. And I could just feel that it's going to be okay. I've got this. Your mistakes, I love you. I forgive you and I'll help you. I can remember those senses of feelings. And so now, when I think in 2002, 8 or 9, whatever, stock market did it again, I said, I ain't touching it. Next week, I'll back up again. I said, whew, Lord, thank you for letting me learn my lesson. I'll just trust you, Lord. And you know, Lord, if it all goes away, you can still take care of me. Because, oh, Lord, you're my refuge. So when you're emotionally, the sorrows of life hit you, you know, young people, how many of you like sort of a girl? Or you like a boy? How many of you girls? There's somebody you kind of like. Don't raise your hand. Don't give it away, okay? Some of you guys, y'all like a girl. You know, you don't. I can see it in your eyes. You're trying not to smile, but I can see it, okay? Well, let me tell you this. You know, when that happens and all of a sudden they pay no attention to you and then all of a sudden you begin to say, wow, I must be ugly. Or the old devil, how many have ever failed a test and you thought you were doing good and that guy ruined the curve? He made 100. You know what I'm talking about? And that girl, she ruined the curve. She made 100. I've had some tests. Sometimes they could have squared my grade and I couldn't have got it passed. And so I look at it and I say, wow, what in the world's going on here? And, you know, I'd say, look, Lord, could you just put him in another class so it wouldn't mess up the curve? I need the curve, Lord. Could you just get rid of him? I don't care any way you want. Oh, Lord, I'm sorry. I've got the wrong attitude. You know what happens? After I look at that grade of mine, I go back and say, oh, I'm just dumb. No hope for me. That's what the old devil wants you to think. And he's after you. And the sorrows of life will get to every one of us in this room, whether it's death, financial loss, whether it's a Peter that said, Lord, I'll die for you, but I'll not deny you. And that same day, he's in there cursing and swearing, and he catches the eyes of the Lord. And the Bible says he put his head down and he wept bitterly. All's lost for him. But when the Lord Jesus came to him and said, Peter, lovest thou me? Yes, Lord, I do love you. Ask him 3 times. He said, go feed my sheep. It's okay. It's forgiven. I'll help you. And then Peter goes from this foul-mouthed sailor to this godly man that writes the book of 1 and 2 Peter. I look at him and say, Lord, let me be like that. He refused to let Satan get him. He refused to let his own sorrows of bitterness. And the Bible says he went out and he wept bitterly. He got alone. He just wept. Do you remember this morning I read it again about Elijah? And he wins a great victory and then he gets scared. And the fear of life grabbed a hold of him. He was afraid if something's going to happen. He's going to get killed by this wicked woman, Ahab's wife, Jezebel. And so he runs for his life. And the Bible says he runs all the way underneath this juniper tree. You know, how would you like to be a juniper tree? Your life is ruined for the rest of eternity. Everybody says, don't get under the juniper tree. I don't even know what one looks like. But boy, I tell you what, I wouldn't want to be one. And so he gets underneath the juniper tree and he just says, Lord, kill me. Now, listen very carefully. The Lord puts him in a cave and passes by so he can see his backside, so he knows that the Lord is with him. You know what he does? He says, Lord, I don't want to live. He couldn't get past the sorrow of life, the fear of life. Did you know the first thing the Lord told him after that? Go anoint your successor. The Lord pulled him back and says, I'm done with you. You see, the old devil got him. He can get preachers. He can get missionaries. He can get choir members. He can get ushers. He can get all of us unless you run to the refuge of Jesus Christ. Now, the strength is this. It's when you and I obey the Lord. You come to the Lord's house and you encourage one another. You get up in the morning and you begin to read God's word and say, Lord, show me something today because I know I'm going to see Satan today. Would you help me to have the courage to say no to him and to rely upon you? Lord, help me to run to the refuge. Lord, give me strength. You begin to learn to pray where the Lord is listening and you know he is. That doesn't happen by accident. And most Christians don't know how to meet with the Lord and rest upon him, rely upon him. But you must if you're going to avoid the temptation of the old devil and the sorrows that you go through. All of us go through sorrows of life. All of us go through disappointments of life. But you've got to have a refuge. If not, you'll fail. I notice a lot of people go to the strength of religion. They trust baptism. They trust lighting candles. They trust the Lord's Supper. That's called a sacrament. They trust all kinds of things. They trust their grandmother's faithfulness to church. They trust their own church attendance. They trust religion. Some people trust drugs. They can't handle any other way, so they go to drugs. Some people handle immorality. Person to person to person to person. Temporary fix. Some people rely upon money. That's the reason they go to work. They don't think about anything else. I got to make money. I got to make money. They think that money is their refuge. It's not. It's walking with the Lord. It's doing Matthew chapter 6, finding a place where you, if you've trusted Christ as Savior, you can get alone and say, Lord Jesus, it's me. I need to talk to you. Lord, I need you. The Lord will always hear a broken and contrite heart. Always. But he doesn't hear us when we're lifted up with pride. Lord, I need you right now. I need you to help make this money work. Lord, I need you. I don't need anything else. Would you help me? He's always listening. Do you need the Lord this morning because you're facing something? Many years ago in Dallas, my home church, I was a youth pastor there, and we would have a teen get together, and we'd have about 1,000 teenagers, and there was this one church that was there from Segaville. They're over in East Dallas, east of Dallas. And we remember hearing the pastor get up in church, and it was during the summertime. He said, pray for, and name this church, and said they were going to camp. They had just finished camp, and they were leaving the Pot of Gold campgrounds in West Texas. And the camp had a little dip that it went up to get out. And in West Texas, when rains come up, you don't know it, but it could be 8 or 10 miles down the road, and the rain comes, and it rains 2 or 3, 4 inches, and the water comes down the gully, and you don't know it. They didn't have any warnings up. And so they could see off in the distance the rainstorms. And so the camp said, everybody better get out quick. And so they loaded up the buses and all of them made it out except the Segaville bus. They were headed down in, and all of a sudden, here comes this water. They got down in there, and the water hit the bottom of the bus. It just kind of rose up. The youth pastor made a very wise decision. Everybody get out, form a chain, and get to the bank. So they all got out of the bus. As the water's starting to rise, they grab each other, and then pretty soon the chain breaks because the water rises. Then pretty soon the bus starts rolling over. And a bunch of them made it to the bank. 10 of our friends died. But the ones that made it, they all got to a tree. They climbed up the tree and they clung to that tree. And if you saw the videos, you could see children in trees hanging on. And a chopper would come by and they'd let somebody down, put them in a basket and pull them up. And I just read this week of one young man who's a pastor now. And he said, I'll never get it over that time. It was a young man that tried to help everybody. He drowned. They never found his body. He's the only one. But he was out there trying to help everybody else. He invested his life in more than himself. But he couldn't get to a tree. Today, maybe you've not gotten to the tree which Jesus Christ hung on. If you don't get there, you won't make it. He is the tree of life. Today, have you trusted Jesus Christ? You don't have to hang on to him. He'll hang on to you once you get there. Today, are you sure you're on your way to heaven? If not, come trust him this morning. And if you're say, yes, Pastor, I know I'm saved. I know I'm going to heaven, but poor life's a struggle. There's a tree that you can kneel at the foot of it and he'll lift you up because he loves you. Today, what are you clinging to? This? This? Or wrong thoughts, come to Christ. He'll help you. Let's bow our heads for a prayer this morning. Come to Christ. The only refuge there is. We're going to have a word of prayer. We're going to stand to sing. And maybe you're struggling, young person, with something in your life. Come bring it to the Lord Jesus. Maybe you're here today and you're struggling as an adult, maybe something at work or something at home. Could I encourage you to come to this altar and say, Lord, I need you. I need your help. He's a very present help in times of trouble. You know, he says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. If you're in trouble in your soul, your sorrows of life are there. Could I encourage you to come and say, Lord, I don't know the answer, but I know you do. I need your guidance. We're going to have a word of prayer. We're going to stand to sing. Why don't you come to this altar this morning? Talk with the Lord. The tree is here, the tree of life. The one who died for you will help you. Lord Jesus, speak to hearts as only you can. In your precious name we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen.